ShareCare is the leading online health and wellness engagement platform, providing millions of consumers with a personal, results-oriented experience by connecting them to the most qualified health resources and programs they need to improve their health. It's time now for ShareCare Radio on RadioMD.com. Here's your host, Dr. Daria.
Hello and welcome to ShareCare Radio. It's Dr. Daria. Remember, any segment we talk about today, you can find on RadioMD.com, where you can download every segment on demand, or you can find them on iTunes Store under in the podcast section. Now, let's jump into the health news of the week that I want everyone to know about. The first one is on the global diabetes rate. And according to a new study, the global diabetes rate has risen by almost 50% over the past two decades, mainly as obesity continues to spread across the world. Now, the study reported a 45% increase in the prevalence of diabetes from 1990 to 2013. And almost all of that rise was in type 2, which is usually related to obesity and is the more common form of diabetes. Fortunately, due to the result of better medical care, monitoring, and medications, rates of diabetes complications in the U.S. have decreased, but it's not keeping pace with the continued rise of diabetes overall. So what's the key takeaway? You know, although people are being diagnosed with diabetes are living longer, we're diagnosing more and more people with it. And that's requiring more health system resources to treat them, longer-term chronic problems, and investments in health systems that developing countries are going to have to start making towards chronic illness. Now, next study. According to a new study by Harvard School of Public Health, people who consume a diet rich in cereal fiber lived longer than those who had very little fiber in the mornings. They showed they had a 34% lower risk of death from diabetes and a 15% reduced risk of death from cancer. Now, people who ate a lot of whole grains and dietary fiber also had a 17% lower risk of dying from any cause. So really a number of reductions and improvements in their health. Now, the study builds on other studies that have proven that cereal fiber and whole grains in general have a positive impact on your life if you want to avoid cancer, inflammation, and obesity. So remember, the diet high in dietary fiber is beneficial. You can get it from your morning cereal, but obviously it doesn't just have to be morning cereal. There's many good options ranging from fruits and vegetables, oatmeal, beans. There's other grains, quinoa. There's really great ways to get it. Most important thing is get the grains and the whole grains and the fiber, whatever way you like, because that's going to increase the chance that you actually consume them. Now, our next study. Recent research has found that women who exercise during pregnancy are less likely to have gestational diabetes, and exercise also helps reduce maternal weight gain. So we've continued to see more and more studies about exercise. And, you know, decades and decades ago, they advocated that women who were pregnant rest and not exercise, but research has just shown that that is actually the opposite. Staying active is hugely beneficial when you're pregnant. So gestational diabetes is one of the most frequent complications of pregnancy and can have long-term effects on the mother, including an increased risk of type 2 diabetes after the pregnancy. It also can impact the baby. So children of mothers with gestational diabetes are more likely to become overweight or obese and themselves have a higher risk of developing diabetes. Now, this study enrolled more than 2,800 pregnant women in exercise programs who had previously done little or no exercise. Exercise reduced the risk of gestational diabetes by more than 30% and was helpful in reducing excessive weight gain. So remember, exercise should not be feared during pregnancy, and moderate levels of exercise are really beneficial for both mother and baby. If you were active beforehand, then great, you can maintain that. But this study even showed that women who had not done any exercise before pregnancy benefited from doing gentle, moderate exercise while they were pregnant. If you're ever in doubt about how much exercise is good, talk to your OBGYN. They'll let you know at least some ideas. It's always great to just start walking. Walking is safe, and it's so good to get you moving healthy for mom and baby. Now, this next study was about sleep, and we are all so deprived. As a fairly new mom myself, I continue to be deprived because of baby. All of us have reasons to be lacking in sleep, and the American Academy of Sleep Medicine and the Sleep Research Society released a joint consensus statement that says adults should sleep 7 or more hours per night on a regular basis to promote optimal health. So the panel studied 9 health categories in relation to sleep duration. They looked at general health, heart health, metabolism, mental health, and that's something that I know suffers if I'm really short on sleep, immunologic function, their immune system, just performance, cancer, even pain, and overall mortality. And they found that for people between the ages of 18 and 60, the optimal health is achieved by sleeping at least 7 hours per night. Now, we all have our reasons for not getting sleep. Technology, social media, TV, work, commuting, personal activities. There's always an excuse for not getting to bed a little bit earlier. But this, again, is a reminder of the value of sleep and importance of prioritizing it and putting down whatever is distracting you, being able to catch those Z's to help you the next day in your performance and work and family and overall health. Now, this one is about stress. I just mentioned sleep. None of us get enough sleep, and we all probably have too much stress. And we all ask, I often ask, how is it impacting my health? So these researchers had asked 30,000 adults back in 1998 in the U.S. how much stress they experienced in the past year and if they believed that the stress was harming their health. 8 years later, the researchers looked at those same adults and they found that high levels of stress increased the risk of dying by 43%. But specifically for those people who believed and reported that their stress was affecting their health. The people who reported high levels of stress but didn't believe that it was impacting their health had the lowest risk of death of anyone in the study. So what does this mean? Again, a reminder, according to the CDC, you know, if this were the truth, that would make believing stress is bad for you the 15th leading cause of death in the U.S., killing more people than skin cancer, HIV, AIDS, and homicide. So clearly, just believing that stress is bad for you, that's not the risk factor. But what does it mean? So we do know that stress impacts our health. It can drive everything from blood pressure to risk of heart attack to the efficiency of your immune system. We also know that there's a likely component that we control and that there's important that we can change our mindsets about stress. So perhaps it was that people felt that it was just bad for them to have high levels of stress, but it was likely that those that reported that they felt it was impacting their health were because they had excessively high levels of stress. So not just believing it and closing your eyes to the health impacts of stress, it's listening to your body and seeing if you feel that stress is impacting your health, impacting how you sleep, impacting how you're able to exercise or eat. And it's important to look at that and really take an overall analysis. And if you think that it is impacting you so much that it's driving your health, to try to get a handle on it, to acknowledge it, try doing things to lower your stress levels, and also try to do things to get those healthy activities back into your life so that stress does not control your health. Now, this next study, it was about breast cancer, and it studied women 50 to 69 years of age who attended had their mammography or breast cancer screening to reduce their risk of dying. And it found that they actually reduced the risk of dying from breast cancer by 40% compared to women who were not screened. Now, they assessed the positive and negative impact of different breast cancer screening methods based on analysis from a number of randomized controlled trials and really observational studies as well. And they looked at breast cancer screening on a global level. Now, of course, breast cancer is the most frequently diagnosed cancer in women worldwide. Key takeaway is that breast screening is an important tool in early diagnosis of breast cancer to reduce the number of deaths from breast cancer. So again, women should be getting screened and talking to their doctors to make sure that they are getting screened regularly. Our last study I just want to mention today about toothbrushes in communal bathrooms. Now, this is going to have the ick factor. They looked at bacteria present on most toothbrushes. I'm sorry to tell you, but they found that about 60% of the toothbrushes tested contained bacteria that we would otherwise see in the toilet. So we won't go into details. It's disgusting. But just keep in mind, really good to change your toothbrush, especially if it's in a communal bathroom. They say on the commercials to change it, that it's good for your teeth, and this study actually supports it. So after I read this, I did go and change my toothbrush, and I kept it away from the communal bathroom. There you have it, the top health news you'll need to know for this week. For more health news throughout the week, follow me on Twitter at Dr. Daria. You can also follow us at ShareCare Inc. on Twitter for ShareCare Radio. You're listening to ShareCare Radio on Radio MD. Thanks for tuning in, and stay well.